This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa, internet world. How we doing today? It's a happy hump day on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hope you guys are having a great start to your day. Hope your Wednesday goes very, very well. We're live in the Derrick Daniel State Farm Studios right here off of McFarland Boulevard. You guys can find us past the Tiger Rock on the left. We're gonna have a fun show today. I'm excited about this show. Oh my gosh, the football show, the football gods gave us a gift midday yesterday as Alabama football received a commitment from Jet Tamala. So we're gonna talk about Jet Tamala a lot today. We're gonna be finding our friend Joey Van Zimmeren of Missouri Tigers on SI here in just a little bit to continue our Know Your Enemy series. I've got a voicemail from my friend Robert from Brookwood. So it's gonna be a great day on the Joe Gaither Show. You can listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify. You can find it on Bubble, B-U-B-B-L. You can find it on Red Circle, wherever you get your podcast. Find us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You can find us right there. Mason and I did a small segment yesterday on Jet Tamala just to give us a tease, just to game the algorithm just a little bit. But you can find all kinds of videos right there. The summertime is mostly us, but during the academic calendar year, we get you press conferences, practice video, all kinds of stuff on the Bama Central YouTube channel. So subscribe to us right there. You can find us on the Bama Central Facebook page as well, on my own social media machines at Joe Gaither 6. And yeah, right here in the Derrick Daniel State Farm Studios across from right past the Tiger Rock on the left. Call Derrick and his team today at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derrick Daniel is there. You can call him home, life, auto insurance. If you just bought a boat because you're celebrating summer, you can get boater's insurance. If you got a trailer because you're working your tail off in the summer, because I know all y'all are working very, very hard, trailer insurance, really everything you need in the insurance realm, Derrick Daniel and his crew can help you out. 205-758-3391. So what are we going to do? We need to get right into it because Joey Van Zimmeren is going to join us in about 10, 15 minutes or so to talk Missouri Tigers. I thought that went very, very well last week with Joey Dwyer talking Vanderbilt Commodores. You can find Know Your Enemy series continuing this week every Wednesday. And I think it's better with an actual expert. So we'll get Joey Van Zimmeren. Follow him at Joey VZ _, even though he's a Packers man. We'll see what he thought about Becky Lynch wearing all that Bears gear up in Green Bay on Monday in just a little bit. But Mason, you were slam packed. Good morning. How we doing? And you ready to talk some Jet Tamala?
Yeah, ready to talk about Jet Tamala, newest quarterback commit for Alabama, the first quarterback commit of the 2026 class. 4-star, previously committed to Iowa State, sorry, from Millard South High School in Omaha, Nebraska. 6'3", 205 pounds, I believe. You know, you're kind of prototypical pocket passer. I do think he has a touch of athleticism to, you know, not necessarily extend plays with his feet, but buy a little more time in the pocket if he needs to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited about what he brings. I think he's, you know, we talked about it a little bit in the video we did yesterday. Not really sure what the path looks like with Keelan Russell also being here and kind of waiting in the wings. But regardless, I think Alabama picked up a good quarterback talent.
Absolutely. So let's dive into Jet Tamala in just a minute. I want to leave the voicemail machine because we want to keep promoting the voicemails, and we want you to call at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Our man Robert from Brickwood called yesterday asking for recruiting news. Finally got a little. Bingo. So great, great. And I think he is back on the voicemail line. So join Robert, 205-462-7340. When that operator says, if you know your party's extension number, just dial 800. It'll ring for a second. You can leave us a voicemail, 5-minute timeline. You get your entire allotment to say what you have to say. Here is Robert from Brookwood.
Good morning, guys. Wonderful day. It's Robert from Brookwood. Real quick, Tristan Keys, a little receiver that's committed to LSU or whatever he is, getting paid off. says that Alabama told him not to come. I think Alabama's got bigger fish to fry to get than him. Let the punk stay at LSU. He's all like Isaiah Bond number two. He just wants money. Let the little idiot go to the biggest idiot school of all, LSU. Anybody that's heard me over the years knows I absolutely despise LSU. In fact, I don't even like the SEC because they hate us. They don't root for us and nothing. Might root for Vandy every now and then, but Vandy's going to get a comeuppance this September to remind them that it's once every 40 years that they win a game against us. Now let's get on to Kirby. Kirby Smart was on a radio station in Atlanta yesterday talking about, he was asked about his 1-6 record against Bama. He says, we played them all in Atlanta or at Bama. He said, this year we got him in Athens. Well, I don't think, I know if it's going to make a difference, Kirby. Then he was also bragging about all the successful week he's had in recruiting, how he thinks and pretty sure that they're going to end up in the top two. Well, we'll see once again. They probably will. You probably can't be number one or number two every year, Kirby, but you got to coach them up, idiot. You guys have a great day.
I love it. Robert from Brookwood fired up. You want to take Tristan Keyes first? We'll just go right through the list. Tristan Keyes apparently not coming to Alabama this weekend, whether that was the staff that told him or his handlers that told him. What do we make about the Tristan Keyes deal?
It comes out yesterday. It's kind of originally, first off, it comes out Tristan Keyes ready to visit Alabama. And then, within the hour, it's Tristan Keyes will no longer be visiting Alabama. And the news breaks as if it is, in my opinion, it was posed as Tristan Keyes has decided upon himself. He is no longer coming to Alabama. Some places decided to also add in there that NIL was going to be a factor in his recruitment. And he takes it upon himself to go to the Twitter machine very adamantly, not about money. Another reply, all of this is false. I did not cancel my official visit. I got a call after a training session to not come this week. My bags were packed already. Please, so on and so forth. Yeah, and that's all I can tell you. It's he said, she said here. Some people are saying this is NIL motivated. It seems to me like the Alabama staff has shifted their focus towards Sedarius Morgan maybe, and is looking at Tristan Keyes as, okay, maybe we try again in the fall, see if something is still there. Because I do think that from what I've seen, he was kind of told that maybe we're going to try to get you back in during the season for an official visit rather than over the summer now. So, I still think it's on the table. I don't know that it's like this huge, all he cares about is money. He's been committed to LSU for a while. I'm sure they have offered him a good NIL deal. I'm sure Alabama offered him a good NIL deal. There's a reason LSU is known as wide receiver U. I don't think it's that crazy to think that a five-star wide receiver just wants to go to LSU. They have a very prolific offense. They are well known for producing high-level wide receivers. I'm not going to get in the business of bad-mouthing a 16-year-old, 17-year-old because, he wants to make a little bit of money.
No, I'm not going to. But I think Robert's right. I think money is a big factor. And here's the deal.
It might be.
What I think is
all we can go off of is him. He himself saying it's not a factor. So
sure,
I don't know.
Sure. But I think that if you can, you're allotting dollars here. It's a dollar allotment. And if we can allot fewer dollars to a Brian Williams Jr. Sure. and get a wide receiver commitment and then shift the rest of that lion's share of dollars to a Sedarius Morgan,
I think,
and you get two for mm-hmm. one. I'm not saying you're not getting, that's a little oversimplification.
I think that's a little bit of what's happening here. It is, we're going to go a little hands off with Tristan Keyes and just kind of play the wait and see game with him and shift our focus towards, all right, let's this, guy who is very vulnerable junior. We've talked about him. We've watched his highlights. Very good receiver, very, tall, lengthy guy, able to stretch the field. But then the big name, Sedarius Morgan, you got to go get him.
Especially being the in-state product. Mm-hmm. I think he's much more important. Tristan Keyes may be that dude. He may be a dog, but I think you need to prioritize the top player in the state.
I would agree.
If you're looking for a wide receiver and you're looking for a big bodied wide receiver.
If we're talking about, the 1, 2, 3, 4 guys in the top of the class at a position, we're splitting hairs as far as those rankings go. Like all of those guys are the same prospect, basically. You get one, you've got all of them, basically, or any of them.
Kirby Smart, 1-6, says, it's going to be in Athens this year. Now, Robert commented on the Bama Central Facebook page that he thinks that Alabama is going to lose over there. Said that's going to be Alabama's only loss of the year. And again, I appreciate Robert for calling. It's been, let's see, Athens. The last time I was in Athens was 2015, 38-10 victory for the Crimson Tide. Then you obviously you had the blackout game, 41-30. Scott Cochran, they're wearing black because they're going to their bleeping funeral. You know.
One of the greatest moments of the Saban era.
Yes. Yes. That was the year that I worked for the team. And I remember the day that that happened, it was like, is this real? And nope, it's already out there, buddy. It's already out there.
I mean, that was like, that was, you know, like you kind of had the feeling already that like, all right, this might be, Alabama might be back. But that was really where it was like, oh, wait. Oh, they're different. That was kind of where it really started to settle in.
Yeah, he was using that line all week. Look, I think Kirby needs to. I'm just taking what he said. What Robert said. I didn't hear the radio interview. But if he's, oh well, we got him in Athens this year. Okay, like if I were,
you've already lost the argument. If that's where you have to go. He should have just been like, yep, they've got us. We're going to have to go back to the drawing board and figure out what we did wrong.
Yes. Yes. If I'm Kirby Smart, I'm saying, yeah, the record's not good. We're going to do what we can this year to turn it around, get one back.
remembers is the most recent one. Yeah, if Georgia wins this one, it's all right. Georgia's back. Nobody's going to be sitting here saying, Obama owns Kirby. They only care about the most recent one.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that game.
Is this bulletin board for Kalen DeBoer and them? I mean, I'm sure there's a way that you can shift it, you know, and twist it a bit. But or is anybody in the facility talking about this? Oh, Kirby thinks they're at home. Kirby thinks they're going to be fine this year. You going to their place out of that? Whatever. Interesting move from Kirby Smart. He seems to be someone that would typically not take that route.
Right, well, I agree with you, but he's got a fine line between confidence and respect. I think it's gonna be a great game. I hope Georgia has a quarterback because if they don't have a quarterback, it's gonna be a problem for them. Puglisi, or
I'm still not
Puglisi.
Why am I blanking on his name now?
Gunnar Stockton.
It would not surprise me to see them doing the two quarterback thing.
Yeah.
That feels like it's right in Kirby Smart's wheelhouse.
I mean, he's done it before a little bit, so.
Justin Fields and
Jake Fromm.
Oh, man.
Jake Fromm State Farm.
Well, you remember he made it Jake Fromm State Fromm, and it was like, buddy, it was right there for you. Clowntonio Brown all over
was
again.
Was he before NIL? Because he missed out on that boat, I guess.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
He's getting back pay with the NCAA settlement. Thank Robert for the voicemail on Tristan Keys, little Kirby Smart, little fire there. We love it. Bring it any day you like. 205-462-7340, extension 800. Want to hit a comment? I see how Everett comments. I will have to call in and request Katie. Have a great day, guys. We hope you have a great day. Katie told us that she's going to be unavailable this week. She is wedding prepping. She's got a wedding in Houston for her fiance's sister. So she's going to miss it. I'm going to try to find Will Miller or Hunter DeCiver to join us on Friday. They don't know that yet, but I will reach out to them today and see if they want to join us to talk about their respective expertise, and we'll get Katie back on next week. So apologize about that. Let's move into Jet Tamala, and then we will get our man Joey Van Zimmerman on to talk about the Missouri Tigers. All right, so I hope this doesn't flag us for copyright or anything, but if you're watching us on YouTube, Facebook, and the Twitter machine, let's put on some Jet Tamala highlights as we talk in the background. Mason Woods, you get a quarterback.
Yeah, you get yourself a quarterback in the 26th class. You definitely needed one. I will say this is, given kind of what I alluded to in a few minutes ago, like, you know, you have Keelan Russell waiting, you have Austin Mack waiting, you might even have Ty Simpson back for another year if this year doesn't go perfectly, you know, A+, S-tier level of quarterback. So, I was in the camp that, all right, maybe this is a year where Alabama just goes out and plucks a 3-star from wherever and they just kind of roll with what they get. But no, I think you have genuinely gone out and gotten yourself a pretty talented quarterback prospect here. You know, he plays for, I mentioned, Millard South High School in Nebraska, one of the biggest high schools in the state. So he is playing, you know, as he is playing at as high of a level as he could be in the state of Nebraska, basically.
You know, Omaha.
You look through their Max Preps page. Last year, they absolutely murdered every team they played. America. I think, you know, they went 12-1 on the year. The only game they lost was when they brought in a team from Arizona to play them. Every other game was a 3-4 score game. He hit through for, I think, over 3,300 yards last year. In the last two seasons, he's got 72, 73 touchdowns, I think. Really able to stretch the ball around the field, throw the ball everywhere, can make pretty much all the throws. You know, we're looking at, you're seeing it here on the highlights. He's just bombing it down the field. Now, you may be noticing, like Joe and I did, that this defense is not putting up the most fight. But regardless, I think you see the placement on a lot of these balls. You see the anticipation in some of these throws. You see him, you know, being able to move out of the pocket and throw off off balance a little bit, throw off platform. I think there's a lot of things to like with him.
I do think there's a lot of like. I agree. A
little reckless.
Yes. Okay. So we'll start with things that I like, and then we'll go to things that I don't. The things I like are. I like how many formations he's being called to operate out of. I like the way that you've got him out of empty here. You've got him out of 3-by-1 right there in this clip that we've seen.
Oh, this is a good clip. This is the one where he fits it right in that little gap.
Right.
It's a gutsy throw.
Let's look at that just again, because it is a gutsy throw. He throws it right over a guy underneath the next guy.
I don't even really know if he meant to fit it in under this.
I think the second guy over the top gets his eyes around and it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to make a play on the ball.
But the ball's out of position, so he can't get there. Or, well, out of his position.
Right. Hello? Did something just happen? Did you hear that?
I didn't hear anything.
Something definitely just happened in my ear. I don't have myself in my ear anymore. You still hear me?
Yeah.
All right, great. Okay.
Whoa. I don't know. I didn't hear. I didn't get anything on my end.
Do you hear yourself?
Yeah. Everything sounds fine to me. Peculiar.
Let's keep going then. Roll Tide. Jets Amala, I see a quarterback who can make a lot of throws. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see a quarterback who is
willing
to make the throws, and he's throwing with some anticipation for sure. So these are things that you like, and I see a pretty big arm. He's making these throws pretty casually. We're not having to throw our whole body into it now. And you're also seeing a lot of, okay, here's a touch throw, here's a deep throw, here's one that we're gonna put some zip on it, and here's one where I'm just flicking my wrist. So I like this kid a lot, just for what you see and for what you were going to get in the class. I think Mason just outlined it. You're never going to get a 5-star in this class. You're never going to get a top-end prospect unless you paid a lot of NIL money, and I don't really think that Alabama operates that way.
I did see right before we started recording, I think from who it was, I don't want to give it to the wrong credit the wrong person here, but someone, he told On3Sports when he was previously committed to Iowa State that he had taken a smaller NIL payment to go to Iowa State. So I'm curious as to what it looks like for him to come to Alabama, whether they just, you know, potentially still didn't have to, you know, do better than a pretty bad deal or what, you know. I imagine that NIL payment is not really hurting the Crimson Tide too much.
No, not hurting Alabama, but I'm sure that it's not what you would have been paying a Keelan Russell, Bryce Young type.
Absolutely.
And so you weren't going to get a Keelan Russell, Bryce Young type because of the way the quarterback room stacks up, and we've talked about that most of the week. But you are able to get a guy who's got some tools. You're able to get a guy who's got some tools, and this gives you insurance for next spring if Ty Simpson returns and one of these two jokers ends up transferring out. Sure. You're hopeful that doesn't happen. You're hopeful nobody transfers out. I think you have to get a quarterback in every class.
I would agree.
I think you see a bigger...
Especially now.
Yeah, I think you see a bigger body here who does have sneaky athleticism. I think it's Andrew Luck-ish athleticism, Peyton Manning-ish. Like, you're not going to run. He's not going to sit here and run. We don't see any of that. But can he scoot around the pocket? Can he maneuver around the pocket and not get avoid some sacks and get the ball out? Yeah, I think that he's got that at least.
He's a pretty, you know, he is a better athlete than I gave him credit for. You can go to his Twitter page. You can go to his huddle page, you know, wherever, and you can find it. He posted his dunk reel from his season of high school basketball. He does also play basketball. I think he plays forward for his high school's team.
I don't remember exactly. Let me see. I know I had his stats pulled up a second ago. Let me see if I can get them pulled up again.
Thank you very much. I just had to unplug and replug the headphones in. Those are better.
Yeah, I mean, you can check out his dunk. Really, he's throwing it down pretty impressively. He's got some pretty decent vertical leap. Let's see. Okay, not the most prolific score. 4.5 points a game, four rebounds a game, but still, regardless.
Probably no shot clock in Nebraska. Those games are probably 12 to 10.
Probably right. I never forget. When I was in high school, we did not have one either, and the team quite literally held a ball for the entire quarter one time against my high school's team. It was so unbearably boring to watch.
Fire that coach. But I think, as you said, it is important to note, he's playing in a better division in Nebraska, but sure. Really, you put this tape on, and you guys just saw it. We just ran it twice. His receivers are running right past people. So like he is reading the defenses fairly well, mm-hmm. but I don't know that he's being challenged that much mentally, and I don't know that he's being challenged that much from a physical standpoint. I think that when you move up to college, you're going to be challenged in a more physical way. But I like the fact that, okay, I see Billy Receiver, his break is about to happen. I've got the ball out. I see Billy Receiver. It's a double move. He's cutting in. Yeah. I'm already throwing the out, but before he gets out there, and the ball is waiting on it. So I do see the anticipation, but I think you were always going to be looking for a guy that was a bit underrated in this class to add to this quarterback room. And if that's the parameters, I think they nailed it.
Yeah, I think so too. I really think, you know, like you said, he is a great safety net for if you are sitting here and, you know, worst case scenario hits. Oh, you're losing one or two of these quarterbacks at the absolute worst next year. It's like, okay, well, we got somebody at least to, you know, who can take the reins, and we feel pretty good about, because you just never know with the way college football goes. You know, you could be sitting here with four quarterbacks one day, and then the next day you have zero quarterbacks. It's just the way it is.
Last little point before we bring on Joey Van Zimmeren of Missouri Tigers on SI. People have been asking about recruiting momentum and, oh, when are we going to get some guys? When are we going to get some guys? Fair question at this point, I think. But I think, yeah, I mean, just a little more patience.
Yeah.
What does a quarterback, you get the quarterback commit, he gets on the phone with Sedarian Morgan, he gets on the phone with Ryan Williams Jr. and, you know, whoever else that Alabama, hey, these are the guys we're after. I think getting a quarterback is an underrated aspect of your recruiting class because of what it can do for the rest of the class.
Yeah, I think it kind of legitimizes the class once you get a quarterback. Then it feels like, okay, they're really rolling now. They've got an idea of what they're wanting to do. They know what they're going after. I agree with you. I think it does kind of help you just continue to, you know, recruit other players as well.
Absolutely. So, Jet Tamala, four-star quarterback out of Nebraska, Millard South High School. I was in your DMs yesterday, Jet Tamala. So, once you hear that you were talked about on this show today, we would love to have you on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central to talk about really your recruitment and your play, your senior year upcoming, get to know you a little bit, your basketball acumen. Jet Tamala at Elite 11 Camp right now. What do I have?
I just saw a tweet about him. Somebody right was quoted as saying he's one of the most physically impressive prospects here.
You got Dia Bell, Faison Brandon, Will Griffin, Troy Hoon, Matt Poniatowski, Kayson Henderson, Landon Duckworth, Oscar Rios, Tate Reynolds, Bo Bentley, Jonas Williams, Briggs Cherry, Derek Zammit, Jake Fetty, Darian Coleman, Jet Tamala, Helaman Kasugwa, Travis Burgess, Byron Beaver, Terry Walker III, all competing at the Elite 11 camp. So we'll see. We'll be up on that. And look, you perform well at Elite 11, get you that Bama bump. And man, Alabama just committed a five-star quarterback, the number two quarterback in the class. Yep.
There you go. Seen it all before.
Keelan Russell was a three-star, wasn't he, at this point? We might give him a four-star because he won Elite 11. Oh, we might make him the number one quarterback in the class because he's a 6A state champion in Texas. I don't know if the ceiling is that high, but for anyone who's concerned that Jet Tamala is ranked as what? Number 243 overall by 24/7 Sports and the number 15 overall quarterback. Just give him a second to get that Bama bump.
He might break that top 10.
That's right. Absolutely. All right, we'll talk more recruiting as the week goes on. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined by the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln, as we start to prepare for the July 12th New Era Wrestling Show.
Looking for a commitment from Sincere Johnson tomorrow as well.
Okay. Is he sincere about the Crimson Tide?
We will see. I think his visit went well. I believe he was here on May 30th, so hopefully he'll be picking the Crimson Tide. You know, I think they're down to him and battling Ohio State, basically, for his commitment.
The Ohio State.
Ohio State.
All right, so let's shift gears. We're live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. Call Derek and his team, 205-758-3391, for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much Derek can save you today, saving families lots of money on home, life, auto insurance. You know you need insurance, even though you hate it. I hate it too, but they make it easy. They make it fun. They make it really, really convenient. That's my favorite part. 205-758-3391. Call and see Derek Daniel today.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
It's a nice little break, and we want to welcome in our friend Joey Van Zimmeren of Missouri Tigers on SI, writing for all kinds of places in the Walsh Writing Network and dabbling in NFL coverage as well with the Green Bay Packers. So we were been doing a series, Joey, called Know Your Enemy. We've talked about Georgia. We've talked about South Carolina. Last week we did Vanderbilt. You can see it each and every Wednesday for the last four, five, six Wednesdays. And last Wednesday, we had Joey Dwyer of Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt 24/7, join us. Joey Dwyer soon to be changing jobs. So we had him join us last week to talk about the Vanderbilt Commodores. He gave us lots of great insight on Diego Pavia, the transfer portal, our friend Will Miller using some of that on today's early opponent preview. I have the early opponent preview on Friday, and it's Missouri. So I'm trying to get as many good clips out of this as possible with Joey Van Zimmeren. Follow him at Joey VZ underscore on the Twitter machine. Joey, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I appreciate y'all having me on. I'm excited for this. And just for pure entertainment's sake, I'm hoping this matchup against Alabama for Missouri is a lot better of a game than it was last year.
Absolutely. And that's a perfect place to start. Last year, Missouri had a decent season last season. Obviously, not as good as the 2023 season, but still 10-3 overall. Got a few good wins, and you know got their doors blown off right here in Tuscaloosa. Really, that was the only big loss of the year. Well, Texas A&M on the road at Texas A&M. Yeah, that was the Vanderbilt game, so I was MIA, not paying attention to the rest of college football. They lost to Missouri, lost to A&M 41-10, and then came to Tuscaloosa losing 34-0. Let's focus on the Tuscaloosa game. Brady Cook playing with one arm, getting knocked out of the game, and really Eli Drinkwitz was operating with one hand behind his back. Let's just overview, Joey Van Zimmeren, your memory here in Tuscaloosa of the Missouri Tigers trip.
Right. I mean, from what I remember from that game, the one positive I can think of and the one thing that could tell you that this upcoming game could go in a different direction is the fact that the Missouri defense actually did a pretty solid job on those first few drives, stopping a really elite Alabama offense. So they had that going for them until the dam just broke open because the Missouri offense couldn't move the ball past 10 yards. I think it was well into the third quarter that they got their like first down of the game, something crazy like that. And so, yeah, I mean, that was the main thing that you hit on. I mean, Brady Cook, he's trying to play through his ankle injury. So you are right there, because he then on like the third or fourth drive, somewhere in the first quarter, he gets sacked on the sideline and falls on his wrist. I believe what was what he suffered in that game. So he was dealing with two separate injuries, and that one that he suffered on his arm or wrist is what kept him out for the rest of the Alabama game. But even with his ankle injury that he suffered the week before against Auburn that he had come back from, it was clearly limiting him quite a bit in that one. And so, especially for Brady and his playing style to not be able to roll out of the pocket as much was a real harm against him, especially going up against that Alabama defense. And then Drew Pine comes in and I think was just seeing ghosts at that point. So he redeemed himself the next week against Oklahoma. But overall, I mean, really just the Missouri offense could not get anything going against that Alabama team. And the defense had a solid start to it, though.
Absolutely. Well, I do think, wasn't there one or two defensive touchdowns? Alabama got a turnover, put the ball like down on the 10-yard line, something like that. Yeah, just not a good day for the Missouri offense and Drew Pine. But so let's flip the page and go forward. This year, Alabama's up in Columbia. And I wasn't too concerned until I saw an 11 a.m. kickoff. Sleepy times in Como. What's it like? Put our listeners, put our viewers up there at Faroe Field and give us the atmosphere. And what will it be at 11 a.m. when Alabama rolls in?
It's in like mid-October, right?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like every 11 a.m. game I've covered here at Missouri, it's been like foggy and sometimes rainy in the morning. So I'd expect that. I would also say this doesn't affect Alabama's chances, but the breakfast food is by far my favorite meal to have in the Faroe Field press box. So I'll have that going for me. I just at least hope the coffee is better this year than it was last year for the 11 a.m. games.
I'm just worried. I'm just seeing maybe a little bit of a trap because Alabama has a really difficult schedule. This is October 11th. Has a really difficult kind of late September through late October. And I'm just fearful for the Crimson Tide of going up there, not taking the Tigers seriously. And so let's just talk. Can Drew, what is this? Bo Pribula. I thought it was Bo Pribula, not Drew Pine. Bo Pribula. Can Bo Pribula, that's a mouthful.
Pribula.
Can he pull off the upset? And what's Eli Drinkwitz going to be doing to get his team fired up?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it is important as to what you mentioned with Alabama and the schedule they're coming off of. Missouri, their non-conference schedule is pretty typical, and they really don't have anybody. I mean, they play Kansas, but they don't have any matchup like Alabama does, even against Wisconsin, some more marquee matchup like that. But Missouri does play South Carolina 2 weeks before they play Alabama, or actually 3 weeks, and then their last matchup for Alabama is UMass, and then they have a bye week before playing Alabama, which I think is also something to mention there for just what the difference for these two teams, what they're coming off of. What I would say is, so for Bo Pribula, quarterback, the Penn State transfer, I'd expect him to be the starting quarterback, but at least with how Eli Drinkwitz is playing it right now, this is still a starting quarterback competition between Bo and Sam Horn, who is in the same year as Pribula, was in the 2022 class, and he redshirted his first year in 2023. He then competed with Brady Cook for the starting job. That year, though, it's interesting to look at that quarterback competition because it was the Brady and Sam split. The first game of the season, Brady got like 27 pass attempts. So Sam Horn got 6. And then after that game, Eli Drinkwitz had the quarterback competition decided. And then 2024, Sam is out for all of season because he's healing, recovering from a surgery, from an injury that he suffered in baseball. He had Tommy John surgery. And now he's entering this season. And I think he's suffering from fatigue and not being the shiny new toy that Bo Pribula is. But I do think it's easy to forget that Sam Horn, I mean, he was in the same class as Bo. Sam was the 15th rated quarterback. Bo was 27th. And the high school tape on Sam Horn is really good. You can tell that he plays baseball in his high school tape, just with the way he's able to throw off platform. I think both of Sam and Bo have pretty good deep ball accuracy, which is something that Missouri has struggled with after the past few seasons. So I think they'll appreciate that. Sam Horn has drawn a lot of criticism from Missouri fans just because of the fact that he is trying to play baseball in addition to football. However, that is one of the main reasons that he even committed to Mizzou, was because Eli Drinkwitz was going to let him do that. I think there is something valid there, because, I mean, the only reason he missed last year was because of the injury he was dealing with. Not that he was going to be the starter, but the only reason he had that injury was because he was trying to play baseball. And then this year, Eli Drinkwitz had a quote that I don't know if was just matter of fact or was telling. Eli Drinkwitz said about the quarterback competition, it's a little bit different just because you've got one of them who's playing baseball and the other one who's able to be around more. That's from Eli Hoff of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporting that quote. And so Sam Horn was playing baseball this past season. Sam Horn is competing in the MLB draft combine in this upcoming week. So I think I have no doubts Sam Horn would be capable, if imagining that there isn't any long-term concerns from this Tommy John surgery he had and the recovery from that. But again, all this to say, I would assume Bo Prabula to be the starter, but who knows? And it's really hard to say when you ask, can they pull off the upset? I do think this is Missouri's toughest matchup on the season, even with it being at home. And I think this is just going to be a really unpredictable team entering the season, because not only of the new quarterback, but also just all the transfers that they're going to have taking on big roles. This is probably the most unpredictable team in the last few years under Eli Drinkwitz, where the last few years it's been a lot of returning production. And this year you have a new starting quarterback, you have a new starting wide receiver after having Luther Burden for the last 3 years and Dominic Lovett before that. You have a wide receiver group that has a lot of potential, but not a lot that we've actually seen produce on the field yet, just because they haven't had opportunities. They're replacing three starters along the offensive line. They have a running back, Ahmad Hardy, who should be really good. He was really good last year in the Sun Belt Conference, but that's Sun Belt Conference. Defensively, I would say they're a little bit more solid and predictable there in standing. If anything, they really just improved on the defensive side of the ball. But at this point in June, difficult to say what they'll be looking like in October, really.
So that kind of takes me to exactly where I wanted to ask you. You know, Missouri brings in some of these new guys. Ahmad Hardy, that was the first, you know, the big name, probably the transfer portal you brought in. But
they've done well with lower tier running backs moving
sure.
up.
Sure. You bring in a handful of guys from the transfer portal, wide receivers, you know, offensive linemen, obviously Ahmad Hardy. Just who do you think, you know, from these guys that Missouri brought in is going to be, you know, I guess Ahmad Hardy may be the easiest answer, but outside of him, who's maybe going to be the biggest contributor on this team of the newcomers?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say, I mean, Damon Wilson is also right up there as far. I'm sure he's the highest rated transfer in the class at edge rusher coming over from Georgia. I think, I mean, just looking at his production over the past 2 years, he hasn't had a lot of sacks. But last year he was second on the team for total pressures on Georgia. And Georgia is obviously not a team that is ever lacking in the elite edge rushers. So I'm excited to see him. Outside of him, obviously, I mean, if Bo Prabula ends up being the starting quarterback, I would also say, I mean, Kevin Coleman is a guy to watch as well. He's coming off for a leading SEC, was leading SEC returning receivers and receiving yards last year from Mississippi State, and kind of the Luther Burden replacement, mainly because of just his slot production. So those would be the main guys to watch out for, I'd say.
So if you had to, you know, looking at we'll stick with the offense here, if you had to just kind of, you know, nail down one strength of this year's Missouri team on the offense, what would you kind of give it to? Is it going to be the run game? Is it going to be maybe the quarterback play with Bo Prabula?
It's a mouthful.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, I would say, because I was just thinking about this the other day, I do think it is going to be the running game at least at first, and maybe into the season as well, just because I think the passing game can be really good, but I'm a lot more certain in this running back room, and I'm sure Eli Drinkwitz and this coaching staff will be as well, especially to start the season, to lean on that. And that's kind of what Drinkwitz has done, even in past years where they've had a little more reason to be confident in where they're at quarterback. So I'd expect them to lean on the running game.
All right, let's flip it to the defensive side of the football because, as you said, there is a lot of returners, and we kind of know a little bit more about them. I see Zion Young. I remember talking about him a lot last summer with you. And look, Missouri's put out a lot of talent into the NFL over the last handful of years, particularly at defensive back. So
death row defense.
Right. What do we think about this Missouri Tigers defense, and will that be – really, as you're breaking in, as you're deciding who the quarterback will be, will the defense be able to kind of hold up and give Drinkwitz's offense a little time to find their feet?
Right, I think so. I mean, this Mizzou defense last year, we're dealing with a new defense coordinator with Blake Baker going to LSU, and they really adjusted pretty quickly to that new coordinator, Horry Batune, albeit it is a pretty similar scheme, if anything, a little bit more simplified. And so I'd expect them, I mean, to be able to have some good continuity and really get off to a quicker start this season again because of the continuity they have with production. And then just as far as the talent they're bringing in, I mean, it's hard to find a weakness on this defense besides depth at cornerback. I mean, they're bringing in some guys that could be around for a year, multiple years, and Damon Wilson, and Josiah Trotter at West Virginia, from West Virginia at inside linebacker. At cornerback, they have all three returning starters. And I would say, I guess that would be an area you kind of circle as well, just starting corners. They have Drayden Norwood, who's entering his third year as a starter. And then I'd imagine they'll rotate again between Nick DeLoach and Toriano Pride at their second boundary corner spot, unless one of those guys merges out. Toriano being the highly rated Clemson transfer last year, did probably not as strong as a season as many expected. Like I said, he was rotating about 50-50 with redshirt sophomore Nick DeLoach last season. At safety, though, I think safety is probably one of the strongest position groups on this Missouri team. They have Dalen Carnell at star. He's entering his, fourth year as a starter, which is crazy that exists in college football.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they have Maverick Burks, who's entering his junior season, who's done some really good stuff in his first 2 years. They have Trajan Greco, who's entering a sophomore year where he contributed a lot in his freshman season. And then the big one that they're adding is Jalen Catalan, who's probably also entering his fourth or fifth year as a starter, coming over from UNLV and just a really physical hitter. So this defense, again, it's hard to find many holes in as long as injuries don't happen.
Well, that's kind of at least the blanket answer for everyone. No injuries. Eli Drinkwitz going into year number 6, and it's been a slow and steady climb, 5-5, 6-7, 6-7, and then boom, 11-2, and then 10-3. You've won a Cotton Bowl, you've won a Music City Bowl in the last 2 seasons. So Joey Van Zimmerman, what are the expectations for Eli this season?
Right. It's interesting to think about this in the context of just how people view the 2024 season, because a 10-2 year is still, a 10-3 is still, in the grand scheme of things, over the past 10 years, really good for Missouri football. But having that colored by the 2023 season, going 11-2, winning in Cotton Bowl, would have made the playoff, I imagine, if it was 12 teams back then. Mm-hmm. To not make the college football playoff last year, in the last year of Luther Burden and last year of Brady Cook, was a disappointment to a lot of fans. And I think when your team like Missouri, I mean, they certainly have had success in the past, which I think gets a little bit lost. I mean, when they transitioned to the SEC, went to 2 straight conference championships. But when you're a team like Missouri, program like Missouri, that hasn't had as much success in the past, doesn't have all the banners like an Alabama does. I think there is a tendency to like really want to hold on to something and have that keep progressing. You know, you're either getting better or getting worse. And so I think, because of the work, I think Mizzou fans should be a little bit more confident in where they are just standing in stability-wise. going forward, because now, I mean, what you're returning year to year on your roster doesn't matter, but just are you consistently near the top of the conference recruiting transfer portal rankings? And Missouri has been over the past few years. I would say I think expectations are a little bit lower this year. I wouldn't say people are banking on playoffs or bust. But I think there is, I mean, just to see a, I think the main question for Drinkwitz this year is just going to be being able to turn these really highly ranked transfer portal classes and freshman classes into actual production. Because I mean, that's the thing we've seen with the men's basketball program is this Gates has been able to recruit really well, but some of those freshman classes aren't leading to a lot of production. So we obviously Elijah Drinkwitz has a little bit more of that behind him, but now with the higher rated classes, what are those going to actually turn into? And I think quarterback is kind of the top question mark to watch that at.
Yeah, you mentioned the ability for Missouri to go out and get those highly rated transfers and bring in these pretty good recruiting classes over the last few years. And I read a report earlier this week from the St. Louis Dispatch about Missouri spending over $31 million for NIL this last year. And I just want to ask you, you know, is that something that has been a more recent development within the last, I guess, 2 years now that you've started to see the results, at least on the football field, where they have kind of allowed Eli Drinkwitz, allowed certain, you know, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, you know, we'll stick with football here, where they've kind of allowed him to go out and get these, you know, not necessarily have a blank check, but give him a lot more carte blanche with how he is signing these players and giving out these NIL deals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the first, that report you mentioned from Eli Hoff was the most transparent report I would say we've gotten over the past few years as far as NIL spending. But there is definitely more confidence in his program. And I can't speak for the athletic administration and say they were disappointed that they didn't make the playoff last year, but I definitely think that expectation span more than just the fan base. And there is a expectation for Drinkwitz to continue. There is a lot of faith in him, I would say, from the athletic administration, whether that's from his extension or what clearly is a big NIL investment, not only from that report, but also just from what we see of the players they're able to get.
All right, we're hanging out on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central with our friend Joey Van Zumeren. He is Missouri Tigers on SI. You follow him at JoeyVZ_ on the Twitter machine. Joey, we're talking about Missouri Tigers, and really we're focusing on it because of Alabama's matchup, October 11th, 11 a.m. for Rose Field. Obviously, last year didn't go so great, but there are a lot of parallels. Some parallels I see between last year's Vanderbilt game and this year's Missouri game. So let's just put you right in the coaching position. Let's put you in the crystal ball. Missouri pulls off the upset over the Crimson Tide on October 11th.
I would say most of it's going to depend on the defense, just because of what Alabama brings on offense. And I mean, really, I guess I would say controlling the pace with that too, because I think, especially last year, what we saw from Missouri when they were able to win against teams with good offenses was really just hogging the ball, basically winning that time of possession battle. And so with Alabama, I mean, obviously with their receiver core is what I'm more focused on, being able to make this a slower game. Missouri holds on to the ball a lot more. I think you'd prefer it to be a lower scoring game. And that's kind of what I said last year when they were facing off against Alabama is if this turns into a offensive shootout, I don't think Missouri can keep up, but I do think they could outscore them if it's lower scoring, they're able to control it with their defense.
All right, Joey, we appreciate your time today. I didn't want to give you too much hell for your affiliation with the Green Bay Packers. How we finish today, or how we finish each and every Know Your Enemy segment, is by going through the schedule. And obviously, it's June. It's June 18th. It's very, very, I mean, what? We're at 73 days for Alabama. I imagine Missouri is probably right there, 72, 73, 74, depending on what they're playing. Are they playing Friday, Saturday, October?
They're playing Thursday.
Thursday. Yep. So they're at 72, should be 72, 71. It's a great little closer for the Missouri Tigers. So I'm not holding you to this too much, but really I just want gut reactions and just kind of quick feelings. We'll go through. I'll go guess first. We'll go Joey, Mason, Joe. We'll walk through the schedule, and we'll end up, 12 games later and see what we predict for the Missouri Tigers. That sound good? Would it finish this out?
Sounds good.
All right. So exactly. Thursday, October 28th, August. Man,
that would have been a late start.
My tongue is so tied. I just called him Joey Drinkwitz. Now we're starting on October 28th. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Thursday, August 28th, opening up with Central Arkansas. Should be.
Yes. Win by the first quarter.
Are they disrespecting Missouri by making them play on a Thursday? That feels mean to an SEC team. This is absolutely a win.
And Mizzou actually likes that they like to have that SEC network slot.
Yeah,
and because enough. It is on Labor Day weekend, so
they get to open everything
this
up.
This is fair.
Open yes. everything
all
up.
All eyes on Mizzou.
A 63-0 beatdown. You may as well come join Eli Drinkwitz. All you recruits, watch us on Thursday with big number here.
Yeah, I just wasn't seeing the vision.
All right, so next week you're back at home. The Kansas Jayhawks are coming to town.
It's the first matchup against them in over a decade. Anything can happen in rivalry games, but I think on paper, Missouri should win this one.
Is this the border war? Is that right? No.
Yep.
It is.
Yes. Man,
thank you so much for old NCAA games teaching me the names of these rivalries.
Yeah, I'm going to take Missouri in this one as well.
I'll take we'll make them 2-0. Then you're staying at home. Family weekend, according to MUTigers.com, against the Louisiana Raging Cajuns.
Should be a little bit tougher than Central Arkansas, but should still be a win for Missouri.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
All right, 3-0. We're all in agreement again. And now where the schedule starts to get fun. South Carolina, I mean, we're staying at Furrow Field. We're not going out of town too much early, at all early.
Wow.
But the Gamecocks are coming to town, Joey.
Yeah, they start with 6 straight home games. This is tough. I think this is the one game where it's going to be a big advantage for Missouri, the fact that the schedules just flip this year and they get to play South Carolina at home. But I see this being a loss for the Tigers.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to agree. This is probably the first moment where we'll either figure out, is this Missouri team actually good or are they kind of middling? And if they, you know, if they win this game, then they're the real deal. But I think I want to roll with the Gamecocks.
Oh, you know, I don't love Shane Beamer. But Lenora Sellers is a dude. I think that they're going to win.
That defense.
Would you rather see this game or would you rather see Eli and Shane fight at midfield?
I'll take the game.
I'm taking Drinkwitz because he's going to sick that robot dog on it.
I feel like a political debate would be even more interesting with the way those two use their words. They're poets in their own way.
Ooh, that would be a long transcription. All right, so I think we're all at 3-1. UMass comes in. Come on. Sorry, the Minutemen are going to last 1 minute in Como.
Yeah.
All right, 4-1 for everybody. Sorry, Mason. No comments there.
going to be a happy homecoming.
And then Alabama comes to town. So, yeah, 6 in a row. And what are we at? We're all at 4-1?
4-1.
I would be honest. I mean, I'd feel a little bit more confident than I do against South Carolina, not because of the opponent, but just because of the circumstances we talked about. But I still see Alabama taking that.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Tide as well.
I am concerned about a trap game, a sleepy morning for the Crimson Tide, but I think that Alabama's going to end up waking up by about 12:30 and getting that thing going. So we're 4-2. And I think everybody's at 4-2. Then you're hitting the road. First road game of the year. Yikes. At Auburn.
This is tough. I'll take Missouri, but this is definitely not an easy one to start on the road.
I think I'm going to take Auburn.
Yeah.
I'm not really buying what they're selling in Jackson Arnold, but I might be buying it enough for this game.
We got two top 10 receivers. That's what I saw this morning. We got the best receiving core in college football.
I'm buying that a little bit.
Yes, same here.
Yeah. Somebody's got to get into them.
That this is true.
All right, I'll take Auburn as well, sadly. Then you return. You're still on the road. Okay, still on the road, and you're going to the newly renovated First Bank Stadium. Another fun game. Vanderbilt, Joey, you going to get a road win?
It's another tough one. I guess I would say I probably see them losing one of Auburn or Vanderbilt, which doesn't make sense for the answer I'm going to give, but I'm going to say Missouri wins against Vanderbilt too.
There you go.
I think I'm in agreement with you where they probably split those games, so I'll take Missouri in this one and give them the win over Vanderbilt.
Oh, I'm in love with Diego Pavia. We're going to run the state of Tennessee.
That's so bold.
He says that yesterday or recorded and released yesterday. Mm-hmm. Bussing with the boys, Diego Pavia says, we will run the state of Tennessee.
Think Vandy, their PR folks, they're just like, you know what? That's Diego. Just let him do what he's doing. Just let him do whatever.
At this point,
he brings eyes to our program.
Yes, exactly. So I've got 4-4. I'm taking the Commodores. But then you return home. Lost big to Texas A&M last year, 41-10. You bring A&M back to Faurot Field, Joey Van Zimmer, and you're going to get revenge.
Again, I hope this is a more entertaining matchup than it was last year, and I think it will, but I see Texas A&M winning.
Yeah, I'm going to take Texas A&M as well.
You know, I should take Texas A&M on paper. This makes sense, but you're going to get a big home win at some point. I've already had you losing to Alabama, so I will take Missouri to beat Texas A&M, get themselves some revenge. Texas A&M, they're always due to drop one bad one.
That's true.
So 5-4 for me. I think most of us are right around there. Yeah. And then we're still at home, okay, against the fighting Starkville Bulldogs. Mississippi State's coming to the town.
I like what they got going on a little bit more than they did last year, but
how could you not?
still a win for Missouri.
Yep, I'm in agreement.
Yep, I think we're all in agreement there. 6-5 for me, and then really, I mean, is this the biggest game of the year for Missouri going to Norman just because of the rivalry factor and trying to beat them for a second year? You're going to Oklahoma, 11 a.m. to take on the Sooners.
I'm really excited for that game. I'm really excited to be in Norman and get another tough one. The road schedule, a lot of people have said the road schedule is easy, but looking at it in the long view, I would not say so. I would say Missouri takes it, though.
I'm going to roll with the Sooners.
Yeah. I think I will too. I don't really want to.
I don't feel like I'm not buying the super Oklahoma hype that a lot of people are trying to sell you this offseason, but I do think they will be an improved version of what they were last year.
I agree.
I like John Mateer.
I agree. So I'm taking Oklahoma as well. And then we are closing it out with another road trip to Arkansas.
Think Missouri takes win for fifth straight year against Arkansas.
I'm going to take Missouri as well. I've got them at, I think that puts me at 7-5.
Yeah, I'll go. We'll make it a clean sweep because I'm not really a big Sam Pittman fan. I'm at 8. I'm at 8-4. I'm at 8-4. Mason's 7-5. I'm not sure exactly what Joey is, but he's right there in between there. 7-5, 8-4, Joey. What's the feel in Como? What's the feel around Eli Drinkwitz? I mean, you're going bowling. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Again, it's interesting to think of just how this year fits into it because it's not necessarily a transition year because I wouldn't say there's like a clear path after this that they're trying to transition to, but it's just kind of a awkward point after being able to build from within the past 2 years before this.
Well, he's Joey Van Zimmer, and the last question I have for you is there anything we should have talked about? And I want to shout out your conversation with Jeremy Macklin. You go check out Missouri Tigers on SI. Former Missouri wide receiver Jeremy Macklin was a boss in college and pretty good in pros as well, and is one of the high school coaches for wide receiver that Missouri is recruiting. So make sure you check out that story on Missouri Tigers on SI. Anything that we might have missed, any stone that we need to turn over before we say goodbye?
I guess the one thing I would say to watch for Missouri this year is that a lot of people are going to be focused on the transfers, of course, for good reason. But I do think there is some really great returners, especially defensively. I think, like you mentioned, Zion Young, I'm really excited for the year he's about to have. Daylon Carnero, I think fourth year is the charm for him. Not that he's been not had success in years before, but I think this is going to be his best at that star position. I think Chris McClellan can be one of the best defensive tackles in college football. I think offensively at tight end, Brett Norfleet can be great. He might declare for the draft after this upcoming season, his junior year.
That dude's a dog.
Yes, absolutely. He's coming off shoulder surgery, so excited to see him back in that full strength. So don't underestimate the returners they have there either.
Thanks so much for your time, Joey. I hope you have a great day. Have a great Wednesday. Follow him at JoeyVZ_ on the Twitter machine for all Missouri Tigers coverage, a little bit of Green Bay Packers coverage as well. Joey, hope to hear from you soon.
Of course. Thank you all.
Absolutely. It's Joey Van Zimmeren making us smarter on the Missouri Tigers. How you feel? How you feel about the Tigers?
I think they maybe are a little better than I was giving them credit for in my head. You know, running through that schedule, the schedule is just, I think, going to be the death of them, unfortunately. It's a tough schedule.
Six straight home games, and then you flip into some road action.
Yeah, anybody that said that road schedule is easy for them, I don't know that they looked at it close enough. Good. Jordan Hare playing against a new and improved Vanderbilt team and then also going to Gaylord Stadium. That's a...
And then Fayetteville's not going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, Fayetteville's, you know.
They're going to be fighting for Sam Pittman's life.
Yes. Arkansas is not a good football team, probably will not be a great football team this year, but the fans love it, and they will be fired up for that game.
They're going to be fighting for that sixth victory right there. Will we go bowling or not? Oy, oy, oy. So, a lot of fun with Joey Van Zimmeren. Thank you so much for joining us, Joey. Make sure you follow him, JoeyVZ_ on the Twitter machine. He's writing a lot of great stuff for Missouri Tigers on SI. We're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow. I'm sure more recruiting stuff will happen. The football gods will bless us with more news, more conversations.
Moling was hitting us with the tweet yesterday. So we'll see. Maybe that means a defensive back coming down the pipeline for Alabama. I know they are looking to try to flip Georgia Tech commit Jaden Terry. Maybe that's what's happening. Who knows?
Absolutely. And then Mason, there's like 4 or 5 days until the dead period. So on Friday, we'll put you to the test a little bit for who's come to campus, because then it's going to go quiet for a second, which is fine. Well, quiet on the visits. There will be a lot of commitment dates through early July and mid-July, and then by that time it'll be SEC Media Day. So we'll have plenty to talk about. Tomorrow, once again, we want to remind you that the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln, is going to join us to talk about the next New Era Wrestling show, July 12th. If you weren't there in Jasper, Alabama, he defended his open weight championship. God, it was a brutal match. It was physical. He and his opponent were smacking the mess out of each other. And then he wins, and the masked man comes out and attacks him again and reveals himself. So we'll talk about that with the Alpha, Alexander Lincoln, tomorrow as we get ready for the next New Era Wrestling show. We'll catch up with either Will or Hunter. We'll find one of them's got to be available on Friday. And we'll talk to them on Friday about Alabama athletics. And we'll talk to you wherever you get the Joe Gaither Show, on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.